Ghostly Thistle presents The Antique Shop. Episode 48, The Other World. My life's no been much fun recently. I've no been to a bar or pub in weeks. No one tells you that by the time you're in your final year of uni, all the good times stop. Everyone, including me, has been engulfed by thesis writing and preparing for final exams. It's like everyone's entire future hinges on a few hours in a silent hall, and how well you can bullshit your way through a 30-page report on a topic no one's really interested in. People have aged overnight, with exams, coursework, thesis writing, and interviews for internships and jobs. The future is looming, and somehow it's more frightening than anything in the shop or storage. My pals are asking, my tutors are pressing, and my da is even starting to have a go. What are you doing after? And I have nothing to tell them. What do I say? That for the day I was born, I only had one fate, and it didn't involve anything they could consider, even in their wildest imagination. I wished time would stop. Things would remain as they are. Nothing would change. I'd always be a uni student. But time for me was running out. Uni, my pals, my flat, all that was anchoring me to normal, was about to disappear. And all I'd be left with was the madness of the shop. My normal life kept me balanced, kept me sane on some days. But in a few short months, the shop would be all I had. No checking out, no only going a few days a week. I'd be there every day, all day, until eventually I'd never leave. I'd watch those same pals grow up, move away, start careers, begin families, buy homes, retire, spend the remaining days in peace, and then disappear forever. My flat would house new people, new students, host more parties, witness more alcohol poisoning and pranks gone wrong. It'd be refurbished, sold, bought, rented, condemned, and then demolished. Everything I knew, everyone I knew, I'd watch them live their lives without having my own. I'd watch things move on and leave me behind. I'd witness progress whilst being unable to make my own. I'd be a constant in a world of change. And it all started as soon as I left uni. Needless to say, I wasn't doing great when Reed came into the shop one day looking surprisingly chipper. I was immediately sour and suspicious. Why did he get to be carefree and happy when I wasn't? Did the ring only work one way? He came over to the counter, where I was alone, and asked if I was free the coming Friday night. I asked why. He began to tell me about a festival that his community were having, and the elders wanted me to attend. Finn, a professional lurker by this point, slithered fae one of the aisles and inserted himself into the conversation. Reed and I exchanged uncomfortable glances, knowing Finn couldn't leave the shop and we were talking about an excursion. His spirits dampened, Reed began to mumble something about a fox festival that went on every year. and that this year was some special anniversary, so the Fox elders had wanted the madam to attend. When Reed had asked my boss, she'd suggested I go instead. It's nice to know I can still make my own decisions. About to take the piss out of Reed for talking so quickly I didn't understand or hear half of it, I found myself reluctant to probe further in front of Finn and just accepted the invitation. A few nights later, I waited outside the shop for Reed to pick me up and take me to the festival. I didn't think I'd ever thought so hard about what to wear. How formal was this event? Would it be like turning up to a funeral in pyjamas? I was relieved when Reed pulled up looking like he always did, and despite myself, I peered into the car to see if his latest relationship had beaten me to the front seat. It was just Reed, yet it had only just occurred to me to think about who exactly Reed was going out with. Douglas hadn't been blurry, but I hadn't had blurry eyesight around something strange in ages. Was Reed going out with humans? His own kind? Or something else entirely? As we set off, I asked more pertinent questions than Reed's Lover of the Week, and finally got an explanation of what this festival was. It was somewhere between an Independence or Liberation Day and a Founding Day. It was to celebrate the existence of foxes. For something so ancient, surely there wasn't a specific date. Turns out, foxes, and by extension all creatures like them, including wyverns like Finn, had been created. Each species had their own day, and tonight was the foxes. I had many more questions, but Reed appeared reluctant to tell. We drove down the motorway, past the commuter villages with new hooses lit up by new streetlights, the road becoming emptier the more we passed. Eventually, we came across a junction that no car but us used. It had no number, no signpost informing us of the closest village or town. It simply looked like an empty road sign, waiting to be finished. There were roundabouts, streetlights, parks, ponds, shops, an entire world that looked like the one I'd grown up in, the one I'd lived in, but quieter. The people we drove past looked like you or I, but all were going in the same direction, and all were dressed up in pretty, colourful clothes that was like nothing I'd ever seen. Ceremonial robes for a culture I didn't know. Reed parked the car and I got out, unable to stop staring as people sauntered by in their colourful finery. That's when I noticed the smaller creatures. The reds, blacks, browns and brilliant whites as they padded their way down the street next to the people. Foxes chasing each other down the road, winding between pedestrians and bouncing off of the walls. The scene was something out of a Bairn's book that no one had written, but should. All of these people, all within sight, were foxes, whether they looked it or not. I heard someone unfamiliar calling my name. And when I looked over the car, I saw Reed waiting with familiar-looking people on the pavement. Peeling my eyes away, I went over to them and recognised the man and woman beside my familiar as his sister and her husband. I briefly noticed eyes staring at me and peered down to see a pram with a wee bairn inside. Reed's nephew, and the baby who the madam did the blessing for a few years ago. I also glanced at the baby bump that Reed's sister was attempting to hide underneath a floaty dress. We smiled and exchanged greetings, both expressing how excited they were to see me and how everyone was glad that a future madam was attending the festival. I nodded and smiled along, thinking they were being overly polite. We joined the throng of people moving towards a large park in the centre of this mysterious place. Reed's sister was more forthcoming with information. When I asked where this place was and why I'd never heard of it, she said that was the point. Creatures liked to keep to themselves, and so most had their own towns and villages that acted much like the shop. People could only see it if they needed to. Despite myself, I asked about human-fox relationships, since the foxes had created their own world away from human eyes. She said that whilst no forbidden or taboo, it was generally frowned upon to make a serious connection with a human. They, under no circumstances, were to be brought into this world. If a fox decided to start a family with a human, that human and any bairns would be denied access. There was no such thing as hybrids or crossbreeds. The bairns of a fox and a human were always human, and so had no place in the fox world. I couldn't help but look around and admire the amount of diversity, considering how small the gene pool must be. Reed, who was walking in front of us with the pram and his brother-in-law, glanced back at me, as if to check I wouldn't say anything. I was almost insulted he had to, but I knew by the slight tint of his cheeks that he hadn't only been chasing foxtail. When we got to the park, it was crowded and exactly like the festivals you see in other parts of the world. There were stalls with food, trinkets, games, small stages for performances, large ones, a grand stage that looked prepped and ready for a famous band to perform. I was immediately led away from all of this into a private area where serious-looking older foxes and people were congregating. Almost as soon as I got in, I didn't have room to breathe. Everyone wanted to greet me, shake my hand, touch me like I was a lucky charm. Faces I didn't know introducing themselves, telling me that I was welcome and that I honoured them with my presence. I've never shied away from a crowd, but it quickly became overwhelming, and it wasn't long before I was wishing for Reed. Just like always, he appeared at my side and politely put some distance between me and my new fan club. When we all heard a voice like an ancient wind, the fans parted, and the oldest of them all walked up to me, with cane and unsteady hand. He shooed the rest away, and they obeyed, leaving Reed, the oldest elder, and me standing alone. He apologised, and said it was the first time many of them had ever seen a madam in person. I said I didn't understand the reverence, I wasn't even a madam yet. The elder eyed Reed bemusedly, and beckoned both of us to follow him as we took a tour of the festival. He became like a protective amulet. Although the whispers were faster than our pace, no one came up and swarmed me, and the crowd parted like reeds in a field. The elder, who was indeed the most senior and essentially the highest authority, began to tell me of the fox's origins. Many thousands of years ago, when humans were slowly becoming the most dangerous predator around, they began to hunt foxes. At that time, all were animals. They had no other abilities. Forced further and further away from their homes, losing family members and loved ones to the stone-headed spear of a human, they eventually had enough and went to see Madame Norna. Could this have been the original, if we were talking about so long ago? They travelled to her and begged her to save them, to give them a way to defend themselves from the threat. So she did. She allowed them to turn themselves into humans whenever they liked, and turn back with as much ease. They would cloak themselves in human skin, pretend to be like them, in order to survive. This didn't happen to all foxes, just the packs whose leaders had been brave enough to make the journey to one of the most powerful beings in existence. And that's how they had remained for thousands of years, safe away for humans. It became clearer why they wanted Madame Norna to attend this festival if the Madame were the reason any of them would even hear. I, somewhat cynically, began to wonder what the price had been for this ability. I never asked. After we had done a lap of the festival and I'd made a list of the food I wanted to try and the prizes I wanted to win, or have Reed win them for me, the elder thanked me again for coming and set us both free to enjoy the festival. And we did. I can't explain how nice it was to be free, to have fun again since my life feels like it's been so lacking these last few months. I laughed and ate and enjoyed myself. Eventually, my legs became sore with all the walking, and we settled down at one of the small stages that were set up, that put on performances throughout the night. The lights were dimmer in this part of the festival, and it soon became clear why, when a spotlight was shone onto a white screen. Some writing whipped onto the screen, and I realised it was a shadow puppet show, except we card cutouts in steady hands. It read, "The Story of Death's Greatest Love." This shook a few things loose in my head, and I felt like I'd heard or read that phrase somewhere before. The writing was replaced by a Grim Reaper-type character, complete with dark hood and scythe. The narrator, whose voice was a deep burr perfect for storytelling, began to weave this ancient fable. Once, long ago, during a time when the earth was only just fully waking up, there existed only a few primordial beings. Death was amongst their number. Another was a creature who was only referred to as Death's Love. A creature of no particular provenance, who was guardian, friend, and loved one. The two were everything to each other. One day, Fate came to ask Death for a favour. Fate's puppet was an old, wizened man, and I had to stifle a shiver as I remembered the owl's eyes shimmering with silent menace. It's never stated what this favour is, but Death refuses to help Fate. And that appears the end of it. Except Fate is accustomed to having its own way, and so kidnaps Death's love to use as leverage against Death. In exchange for the favour being granted, Death can have their pet returned. Death agrees, but their love is not returned as promised. It's never returned. Each time Fate wants a favour for Death, it's granted. Fate dangling their beloved every single time. Except I've noticed something strange. The card puppet used for Death's love is black all over, has more tails than any four-legged creature should have, and has a suspicious mark on its forehead that I'd give any money was an eye. My chest clenches with something I've never felt before. Anticipation? Hope in spite of all odds? Once the show is finished and people begin to move on, I battle through the crowd to where the performers are. I begin to ask the narrator about the story, where it comes from, if it's true. He, like everyone there, recognises me, and rather than laugh at my strange questions, he humours me. He says it's a very old tale that no one really knows when it started. I ask about the puppet they used for Death's Love, whether it was chosen at random. He confirms that in the spoken tale, Death's Love is always described as a creature with three eyes and many tails, one that no one has seen since it was taken by fate. Holy fucking shit. I thank the narrator and find myself sitting down, chest released and breath short, as though I've just ran a marathon. It couldn't be. I was grasping at straws. There was no way this was all true. It was just a story. Yet, after all of these years, I knew it wasn't. I knew. It was about time to trust myself. Listen to that voice deep down inside that I'd forced to take a backseat all of these years. I could fix this. I could give this story a happy ending. All I needed to do was find Death. And I knew exactly who to go to. Wait a minute. Have I been calling Death's greatest love a wee shite all of these years? The scene was something out of a bit of it. I heard someone unfamiliar calling my name. And when I looked over, shit. No, I did not look. Why'd every week, man? I do that every friggin' week. Jesus Christ. I heard someone unfamiliar calling my name. And when I looked over the car, I saw Reed waiting with... I can't get through the sentence, apparently. Despite myself, the children, as if to check, I would... small stages for Fifi. The elder eyed Reed bemusedly and beckoned... beckoned. It was about time I trusted... What? It was about time... Oh, right. Thank you for listening to episode 48 of The Antique Shop. Episode 49 will be released in 2 weeks' time. Hello. Yes, I know 2 weeks in a row I have given you a ramble at the end, but this is probably one of the most important rambles I think I will give. My listeners might have started to notice that I've been tying up a few loose ends, and this isn't unintentional. Episode 50 will be the final of The Antique Shop. I don't really know if that's good or bad news, perhaps both. I feel like apologising, but also not. Very weird mix of emotions. So when I began The Antique Shop, I always intended to end it after or at 50 episodes. And then at some point between episodes 10 and 30, I thought I could get to 60. But the last year and a bit has shown me that I can't. I've never been one of those writers who can prolong or stretch a story longer than I intend. Let's face it, stories that are very long, such as anime or manga if you're into that, or supernatural, are loaded with filler, which is fine when you're world building, but there gets to a stage where you've built your world and then what do you write? I decided after episode 40 that 50 was going to be the last one, and I also mean that with regards to podcasting in general. I am retiring? Is that not really the right word? Going on indefinite hiatus might be a better word for it. I know that I floated the idea of the Monster Jars last year, and whilst I still think that would be such a great project to work on, I want some time to work on something else. So ever since I released the McElroy Statements, which, if you're here and don't know, I do have another podcast, it was my very first one, released back in 2019. So yeah, since releasing the McElroy Statements, I've only written podcast episodes. That is all I have written for the last 3.5 years, apart from one 3/4 finished novel that I managed to blast through on one of my breaks. I was and still am mainly a novel writer. I have plenty of finished and even more unfinished novels on my various cloud drives, but I've hardly written or planned anything like that since I began podcasting, even though there have been quite a few ideas in the last few years that I have wanted to develop. I've never really had the time to dedicate to those ideas because I was always having to plan and produce and write this podcast. Which I'm not saying as a complaint. I'm not complaining that this has taken up all my time. I chose to do this podcast. It's been really fun. So some extra context, I suppose. So in summer 2021, I began to submit to literary agents. So for anybody that doesn't know how publishing works, as in like book publishing, not article publishing, which is arguably a lot easier. So yes, if for anyone that doesn't know how publishing works, there's a few different avenues that you can go to publish. You can self-publish, you can do else. But the traditional route, as it's referred to, is you go through a literary agent and then that agent submits your work to publishers and they decide whether or not to publish your book. Very rarely, I don't know how it is in the US, but I know here you can't really go directly to a publisher yourself. You have to kind of have a literary agent. So anyway, last summer, 2021 summer, not last summer, 2021 summer, I created a submission packet for one of my novels that I finished quite a few years before I started podcasting, but it's still one of my favourite bits of work. I created a submission packet, which has all these hoops to jump through, and I started submitting them to literary agents, which did not go as well as I was hoping. I don't know how many I submitted to, it was quite a few, and I think I did it for about 6 months. I got rejected from the ones I heard back from. The majority I didn't hear back from them at all. And I think what kind of pushed me to finally end this podcast was I received a reply from one of those agents this year, like last month, 14 months after I had submitted to this agent. They rejected me anyway, but they said that it wasn't because they didn't like my work, it was just because they were too busy. And that kind of reminded me, oh, I completely forgot about this. I just haven't had the time in the last 12 months to kind of give to this. And I really want to. It's something I've always wanted to do. So I wasn't doing it half-heartedly, but as I said, I had so much else going on that the rejections didn't really get me. Or maybe it's just because I'm so used to rejections in academia that that rejections just, you know, like water off a duck's back. But they got to me, but they didn't get to me. But I still stopped submitting anyway. As I said, I just kind of didn't have the time or really the inclination, I suppose. It is quite disheartening. For anybody that's done it, it's quite disheartening sending emails off and never hearing anything back. But yeah, going forwards, I would really like to get back into that and start taking it a bit more seriously than I was taking it. So the last 3.5 years have been so much fun. I've loved building this wee community of mine and hearing all of the lovely things that everyone has said over the years. This was definitely a project of love for me. My only goal when I started was to break even, with costs, I mean. And I eventually managed to do that through the very generous donations by all of my wonderful listeners. So thank you very much for anybody who's donated the last few years. So I am a storyteller, and I wanted to share my stories. I've said plenty of times in the past that I think fiction is a sacred door to escapism, because that's what it's always been for me. A safe haven from the trials of life, and I really wanted to give people that space with the podcasts, and I feel like I've accomplished that. It's not every day that someone can say that they've accomplished all they wanted to from something they've done, but I pretty much can. Having said that, I was hoping getting published would be slightly easier, but I'm okay with being a wee bit too optimistic on that front. Not to mention, in the last like 12 to 18 months since I submitted, I've gotten a lot more downloads and stuff that I can put into my submission packet. So it's actually probably been for the benefit that I kind of waited to resubmit to people. It has started to feel like I'm going away as this podcast is just getting bigger and bigger. Every episode gets more downloads. The podcast feels like it's gaining traction through no effort from myself. But I don't want more attention and downloads at the expense of the story. I think that's a huge problem these days, people cashing in on their success and ruining the legacy of whatever they've made a sequel or a prequel to. I think Star Wars is a good example, but you didn't hear that from me. But I feel like a few podcasts as well over the last few years has done the same thing. I'm not trying to throw shade at anyone, hence why I have not mentioned any names. I've not thrown any names around. But as a podcaster, it's been really fascinating to watch the evolution of those that came before me or those who were big names in fiction podcasting when I was just starting out. But I feel like The Antique Shop has run its course. And if it were to go on any longer, I feel like it would lose a bit of its soul and personality. So a very big announcement. Episode 50 will be the final episode of The Antique Shop. I was going to start this next sentence with however, but I realised that there's not really a silver lining here. Like one of your favourite podcasts is ending. There's not really, oh, but it's okay because of this. So what I was going to say was because it's been about 2.5 years since I last did one and I've removed it from the podcast feed so nobody can ever listen to it again, I'm opening up the floor to questions. So it's more a hybrid between an Ask Me Anything and a Q&A. You can ask me anything you want about the podcast, stories, myself, my thoughts, my opinions, etc. I was also hoping to have a session where I take a deep dive into The Antique Shop, give my inspirations, my takes on characters and where they came from, my initial plan versus what ended up happening, because stories have a mind of their own sometimes. So please fire any questions through the usual routes, email, Twitter, Reddit, Facebook, anywhere I have a presence, and I'll collate them and release them in a few sessions after I release episode 50. My email is ghostly.thistle@gmail.com, and if you search for The Antique Shop or Ghostly Thistle on Facebook, Twitter and Reddit, you will find my pages there as well. I don't know what else to say. It's so weird to be standing here saying that I'm going to be ending the Antique Shop. It's been going on for so long. And I know that it's not so long compared to other podcasts. But for me, it's been such a huge part of my life for years that it's just so strange to stand here and tell you that it's over. it's just such a... I'm so conflicted. A part of me really wants to carry on. But I don't know if that's just because it's been part of my life for so long that it feels weird knowing that I'm not going to have it in my life anymore. Or whether, it's probably because of that. I do love this podcast, but it does become a chore sometimes, especially when I, as I said, when I want to work on something else, I can't really because I don't have the time. I feel like I should apologise to people. I feel really bad. Because so many lovely people have like messaged and emailed and been like, this is my favourite podcast, it's gotten me through this and that, and that's so nice to hear, and I feel so bad about saying, by the way, no more episodes after episode 50. But I will still be hanging around. I may eventually come back to podcasting, but not in the foreseeable future, hence the indefinite hiatus, which I had to Google. I didn't actually understand what that meant. Because I was like, well, what's the difference between an indefinite hiatus and just retiring or quitting? It turns out that an indefinite hiatus essentially just means that there's no end date and that there is a possibility of somebody coming back, but you don't know when. Which I understand is quite frustrating for people and essentially does mean you're quitting, but I prefer indefinite hiatus. And so do a lot of companies, apparently. Anyway, ramble over. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time. And remember to send me your questions.